Well, what is this?
Welcome to the Lady Gang.
That's amazing. Say that again.
The Lady Gang.
Things are about to change around here.
Each week, we catch up with Hollywood's hottest girl posse, Kelty Knight, Becca Tobin, and Jack Vanek.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Lady Gang. I'm Becca Tobin here with Jack Vanek and Kelty Knight.
Hello.
Hi, guys.
Hello. Do you think we'll ever be together again?
I mean, we were together for our Express photo shoot. So, I mean, I didn't touch you, but we were in the same room.
That was like our one time for the year.
Yeah, that's it. And we are trying to plan a trip together, for the first time ever, a couple's trip with the three of us.
We need to get back on that. I need it in my life.
I invited you guys on my trip.
No, you didn't.
You can't do that. You can't call that a Lady Gang trip if you've just decided on your own where you're going and when.
And we didn't know you were going on that trip until you put out of town into the calendar and then we asked you about it.
Kelty.
You know what, guys?
You know what? This is a threesome. Threesome where we make decisions together. Anyways, it's fine. We're going
to
go somewhere.
No, I sent you guys some houses to rent and no one commented back.
Because you're sending it on like a Saturday night.
Yeah. And I was drunk. That's when I do my Pinteresting of Airbnbs. Okay, not my fault.
Okay, anyway. All right, well, in that case, it's time for...
Good week.
Yes, it is.
Bad week.
Oh, no.
I'm going to kick us off. So my good week is Ariel Lori. She was on our podcast at one point, and she's a podcaster herself, and she's like this fitness wellness guru. I love following her on Instagram because she has really great, she tags really great things and recipes and all that stuff. And she posted a treat the other day because she mentioned her husband, Chuck Lorre, only eats like sweets, and he hates when they're healthified, you know?
Yeah, same.
Like, ding-dong looking like delicious hot chocolate thing. And she's like, this is the only healthy baked good that my husband can eat or will eat. And she tagged the brand and it's called Coco Love Cookies. They're based in LA and but they ship everywhere. And I ordered cinnamon rolls, like gluten-free, refined sugar-free. I love a good cinnamon roll. You guys, it is game changer. So you can look them up. This is not branded. I paid every penny and I'm about to order another one. Coco Love LUV cookies. It's insane.
Are they already made?
No, she bakes everything here.
When it comes to me, do I have to do any work?
No. It's done. It's done. So it's like, it's magical. I heat them. I reheat the cinnamon rolls because they're delicious, but it's so good.
I love a cinnamon roll.
And she has so many different kinds of treats on there. It's dangerous, but delicious. Okay. My bad week is there a medication out there that will make you a nicer person? Like, does Prozac make you nicer or does it just make
you... I don't know. Easier? Let's see. Do you think I'm nice?
No.
Don't do Prozac.
But then. I want something not that makes me happier, but I guess that might be the root of me being an asshole is being unhappy. But like, is there not a magic pill that just makes
I think number one, you're probably fucked, but maybe it's like a hormone thing. Like if your hormones are all out of whack, like it gives you mood swings and shit.
True. Okay. Well, maybe
a nightmare right now?
I'm a nightmare. I've tried everything. I've woken up in the mornings and I've tried to do a meditation. I've tried to do a gratitude list. I've tried to do so many things to like get my mind right. And all I want to do is like burn houses down like all day long, just figuratively and literally.
Well, I will say there is something that I think could help.
What?
My friend Jess had me order and I've been taking it. It's called Cortisol Manager. It's like, I'm not a doctor. I was like,
cortisol is like the hormone stress creep.
Yeah. So my friend was like, I said, I need a Xanax. She's like, oh no, you can order Cortisol Manager off Amazon and it like works the same. I feel chill, but I don't know. I also think, Becca, like not to be earthy on you, but you need the good and the bad. You have to be mean so you can be nice.
It's the yin and the yang, bitch.
So you can feel happy.
No.
I have a bad week. Bad week We have officially found a name for the next tour. We talked about it when Chillaxification came on. One of the Lady Gang fans has given to us. It is so terrible that it is great.
Okay.
And I'm naming the tour. I'm not even collaborating with you.
Shocker.
Yeah, wow. Name,
the Celts Jaxta Beccation Tour.
That didn't even have any creativity.
No, no creativity. Boo.
Celts Jaxta Beccation? It's like a vacation.
You just said that, and I can't even repeat it because I don't know what it was.
Chillaxification is way better.
Kelsey Jaxtabecation.
Somebody just tried to put our names into Chillaxification.
I know. And it's so bad that it
was. Tom Tobin?
Probably.
No, it wasn't your dad. I'm like, Tom Tobin. Kelsey Jaxtabecation.
Okay.
Coming anyways. To you in a...
Okay. We're going to still brainstorm
that one. Theater in 2022. That's a bad
week. What's your good week?
Okay. The good week is it's Tuesday, which means we are now 2-time Emmy Award, New York Times bestselling author and fashion designer. Our collection for Express has officially dropped. We are so excited about the collaboration. We designed this like empowering, super fun, very effortless. There's like lots of jumpsuits. Don't worry. It's packed with our personalities and each. There's like a Becca, there's a Jack, there's a Kelty.
Guys,
so excited.
It's real cute.
It's so cute. We did a good job.
And it really does have all of our little personalities in it. We cute. Okay.
What's up, Jack?
So my good week is I have a new word, and I made this one up myself because I am so creative. So you guys know what a man cold is, right? Like a guy gets sick and then it's like the end of the fucking world and you're like, yeah. I would love for you to have a period once in your life. Mm-hmm. So Jared, when we first started dating, I'm like, you're not allowed to have a man cold. This is a rule that I'm not allowing to have.
You're allowed. Okay. Anyways, go.
He can be sick, but I'm like, you can't act like the world is ending if you have like a little tickle in your throat.
Okay, but Jack, in his defense, you act like the world is ending with a period cramp.
Because my world is ending with a period cramp.
But some women can't understand it.
Because they don't have period cramps like me.
Do you have endometriosis?
Not that I know of.
You should get checked because that is like a symptom.
You should get checked.
Yours are not normal. Your period debilitative cramps are not normal.
No, you're not supposed to have a period for fucking 10 days. Okay, so anyways... Jared's not allowed to have man cold. However, what I have noticed is that he gets a man injury that now I am calling a himjury. Mm. When men, it's like he slept on his shoulder wrong. And then yesterday we're getting in the car and he's like, oh, I can't even reach the seatbelt. And I'm like, dude, your shoulder is just like tweaked a little bit, but it's like, it's the end of the world. So it's a himjury. Or I was thinking.
Injury is so good.
Injury. Is it himjury or manjury?
Himjury is so much better.
Okay. Himjury.
So good.
It's like Chris is sore from a workout and he's like, oh, so sore.
For like 5 days.
Zach hits his head every 3 hours on something and it's the same.
Himjury. It's iconic.
It's insane.
We have to write another book.
I know. We need another book. I can't believe I came up with it myself. You know, my creativity is off the walls.
You guys know we don't have another book deal, right?
You do not. We're open. Please let us know.
Anybody want to sign a book deal for us? Okay. My bad week is, you know, it's been 4 months since quarantine. We're all doing our part. We're not seeing anybody. We're wearing our masks. We're doing the thing. And then there's motherfuckers like this country artist, Chase Rice, who had a full-on concert in Tennessee with thousands of people without masks. Just like nothing was wrong. And it fucking pisses me off because we're all here.
Yeah. You've ruined everything. We stayed inside for nothing.
And it's like Jared's a musician. He'd love to be playing tours. His entire career is based on playing live shows to people and they're not because they're being safe. And then there's fuckers out there that don't give a shit. And if and it like, really
we could be
off.
We could be playing arenas for Lady Gang.
You know what I mean? With
Staples
the social
center,
media distance,
bitch.
Like 8 seats between each, we could fill like the first 10 rows of an arena.
That's awesome.
That's maybe how we do an arena tour is with 200 people at it. And we're like, see?
It's so annoying. Stay the fuck home and wear your mask. God damn.
Chase Rice, stupid name anyway. Stupid fucking name.
What are you? A carb?
He's also Chase. a fu- He's a terrible country artist, and he was the guy on The Bachelor that like hooked up with the other girl on The Bachelor
and played and for then, the girl
no. and then played for her, but then like lied and said that they only had a one night stand when he wrote a fucking song about her. So he's a motherfucker. Mm. So go to hell,
Chase. See a Chase.
Look at all this love we're putting out in the world.
We'll be chasing you. And speaking of hating and trolling people on the internet, Tan is here to tell us some stories after the break.
We love him.
Now back to the Lady Gang.
Our guest today has French tucked his way into our hearts, elevating the style and giving back confidence as one of the stars of Netflix's Queer Eye. He's a New York Times bestselling author, a fashion entrepreneur, and a bona fide TV host hosting one of my favorite quarantine shows, Next in Fashion. Rest in peace, Next in Fashion. You were great. I brought him here to find out exactly who made the blouse, it's black and white, that Dr. Yi wore at the end of her episode when she was wearing black skinny jeans and a little heel and a puffy sleeve blouse, but also for other reasons, just that we love him. Turn up the volume to this podcast to match the volume of our guest's hair. It's fucking full, guys. Please welcome to the Lady Gang, Tan France.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hi. Tan, we love you. First of all, you're so fabulous. You can think about the blouse. It is important to me. I'm not going to lie.
Should we get it out of the way real quick, though?
Yeah, do you know it?
Jump in.
I don't remember it. It was, okay, can I tell you how this works? So when I do that scene in a store, especially if it's in a department store, I go around, I have like 20 minutes and I pick whatever I want real quick. I have no recollection of what designer section I picked it up from, but it was a very, very fancy store in Philadelphia. So it's definitely a designer, I just don't know which. I think it was Carolina Herrera.
Oh, it's out of my range. Okay, cool. Good. No, it's good. Like, if you were like, it was Gap, then I would be like, cool, I'm going to try to find it online. But like,
Now you're like, no.
There was one episode where you were like, she walked in. I don't remember what episode. She's like, oh, maybe it was that one. She's like, there's nothing I can afford in here. And you're like, yeah, there is. And then you pulled like a Dolce, like leopard jacket. And I was like, that's like a $6,000 jacket.
Okay, to be fair, so I didn't put her in that. There was that blazer dress.
That was hot.
Okay, yeah, that one was $6,000. But there were other things I put her in that were like $1,000. She's a doctor.
Yeah. Okay. True. So before we start the podcast, we're just going to jump right in. Before we start the podcast, Tan was he was 2 minutes late. What the fuck? And he was like, I'm making videos for people. And then we sort of like mumbled like, are you on Cameo? And we're judging him, but he said no. And then he said, are you on Cameo? And we said, no, we don't like Cameo. And now Tan has a public service announcement about Cameo.
I have a full rant. Kelsey, you're being really sweet because that is not, you're trying to protect me and I really appreciate you for that. And I'll repay the favor in the future. But what really happened was I was very snarkily saying, are you on Cameo? Because if you are, you're so hot.
Yeah.
Because no, I was doing a video. I don't just do videos for everyone, quite honestly. I'll pick just a few. My assistant goes through my DMs and every now and then we'll pick a few that were like, this person is going through something. Like, let's just say hi. I don't charge because that seems weird.
It is weird.
It doesn't that feel like you're taking advantage so hard? And here's the thing, I feel really bad because we all know people that are on Cameo. And I do respect these people outside of Cameo, but when they do Cameo, I'm like, what on earth? Has life gotten so hard for you? And some of the people that are on there, I know are Coinsy. I'm like, you really need that extra
$50? $50. Okay. It's like you're a sex worker and you're like, my blowjob is $75.
But the problem,
everyone knows your price.
The problem is, yes, everyone knows your price. So you're basically like showing the world your value in comparison to other people's values. And some of them are like $13.
However, as much as I know that may seem really lame, I think if I were on it, which I can't possibly imagine a world where I would be on it, I would charge like a dollar to say, let's just cover.
But after taxes, that's like 33 cents.
Tan, your entire life would be recording videos for people.
I know. But have you seen like some people are charging literally hundreds for a few second video?
Chris Harrison.
That's how much you respect your fans. That's, I think it's so.
The only time I think it's okay is when they do donate a large portion to a charity.
I did not know that was the case. If that's the case, absolutely fine.
Yeah. And then also here as a dried up old actress myself, let me just say, you know, everybody, you get on a hit show, you make a lot of money.
Yeah.
And then you don't get on another hit show and you don't make a lot of money.
Yeah.
You still have really crazy fans. And there's like these conventions that you'll get paid, you know, $40,000 to show up at, to sign autographs and to take pictures, which is essentially like a big broad version of the Cameo thing.
To me, it's very different, but go
it's on. IRL Cameo.
Yeah.
It's, but then I look at these actors and it's like, I know they're probably struggling to make money at this point, but they still have this fan base. So it's like tapping into the fan base as a way to continue to like make a little bit of money. So that's the only time.
I Ew, think how okay. dare you make me feel bad on your podcast.
I'm shaming you, Tan.
I have my opinion on Cameo is there's only one type of person that I think belongs on Cameo. And it's like a Gary Busey or like a Mr. Bean, or I've paid a lot of money paying for cameos from Constantine from American Idol. And just because he's really fucking weird. So if it's like these really weird, obscure people, I can see it, but like, I don't need a bachelor person to give me a shout out.
Well, that's it. A lot of it is like bachelor people or people from reality shows. Here's a couple of my rebuttals. I understand that a convention feels like the same thing, but I've done appearances and stuff. It's not where I've charged, but if I've done an appearance, I feel like it's less cringe than, hi guys, I've got this name that I've got to say. I've got this event that I've got to say. Whereas if the person's like, hi, so nice to meet you. Yes, of course I'll sign that thing. It feels a lot more organic. It doesn't.
You're right.
However, if I did not know that some of it goes to charity, I don't think that's the case for a lot of people.
It's but not.
If that is the case, absolutely, I have full respect for that. If you're donating, if you're not, I do think, are they ready now? What other options? Can we? You mentioned money. Can we also talk about that? I don't know how long we've got, but I've got longer than you think I have. And so, what I will say is this.
I love you.
What I will say is this.
Go.
Understand that somebody may have been on a hit show and they may have earned a lot of money. But what I say to my castmates all the time is be careful of how you're spending your money because this may not last very long.
Yep.
Don't spend money on things that you technically can't afford unless you have that money in your bank account. Otherwise, when this is all over, bitch, this is going to come crashing so hard. And so make good choices.
I was literally thinking last night in the shower. Well, I didn't need to add that part. I was thinking last night about how many more seasons of Queer Eye can I watch?
Same.
And I was like, a lot.
Me
like,
too.
I'm not.
Yeah. Keep them like, coming.
We're nowhere near the end. Like, I know you guys are doing Texas next. And then, so that's four, right?
Yeah. No. That's six.
What?
Holy shit.
Oh, yeah.
And it's kind of, to be fair, it's kind of
getting better.
Seven. No. It's kind of because we have a Japanese season as well. It's a mini season, but we
which
still
so good.
Season. And so it's kind of technically we're shooting season seven, but we're calling it season six because we don't have Japan as
like we're definitely going into season 12 before I even think about like, are we done the run? You know?
Yeah.
Are we?
Yes.
Really? Yeah. It's getting better. It's getting
so. I honestly did say before season five came out, I said to my husband, "I think we might be over." And he was like, "And this isn't just faux modesty, I promise you." I said, "I can't imagine people want to watch the show again. They know it. Like they know that I'm going to put somebody in clothes now. They know that Jonathan's going to cut someone's hair." however, it was shocking to see the response to season five. I was like, "Maybe we have got a little bit longer." But I do wonder when people are going to think, I know Tan now. Why am I going to watch the show again? All right. Maybe it is purely the heroes. I hope so.
Can I ask you a question? Speaking about being really responsible with money, what's the most expensive, extravagant thing you've bought yourself since this started?
Ooh.
Homes. It's property for sure.
Just homes.
Just homes.
Must be nice, Tan.
He said plural, guys. He didn't say a home.
Here's the thing. I want to make this. I'm going to. Let's do real talk.
That's the point.
Yeah, we don't. So here's the thing, and I don't speak as frankly with most people because a lot of the time it's super uptight and they're always going to twist my words, whereas be ready for it. If you twist my words, I'm going to come for you.
Because I can see you.
So here's the thing with money. I'm really funny about money. Before I got onto Queer Eye, I had businesses that struggled so hard when I first started them at 26. But then by the time I was done, I sold them and retired. And so money has been around for a little while, which I'm very grateful for. And it's not luck. It was damn hard work. And then I got Queer Eye. And then obviously this industry, if you're on a big show, it pays well. And it hasn't changed my spending. I don't spend like a crazy person just because I have a lot more money. Every now and then I will buy something splurgy, for example. I will buy property, but that's more of an investment. I was raised in a Muslim household. We don't do credit. It's one of our big sins. And so we don't do credit cards. We don't do overdraft. So I only spend money that I have. And so I treat money very responsibly. So if God forbid this all goes away, it's not the end of the world. If I have to sell a property to live on that for the rest of my life, so be it. So money has been important, and it's a topic I talk about a lot.
I love this. Oh, go ahead, Jeff.
Do you have a property that the Lady Gang could borrow to vacation at anytime soon?
The LA home's going to be done real soon. I know you all live in LA, but it's a really cute staycation.
I love it.
Yeah.
Tan, what is your, speaking of money, what would you charge to re-record the Lady Gang audiobook in your voice only?
God, that's a really good question.
It would be so much better than us reading it.
It's so hard, you guys.
Yeah, we know.
It's not easy. You really do think, oh yeah, I'm just going to read. And then you start to read and you're like, why can't I read English anymore? But especially my own words.
Mm-hmm. And like Tan, in our book, like there weren't many big words. Like it was all pretty, pretty low level English. And we stumbled and stumbled and stumbled. So.
The weird thing about recording a book, I wrote the book with a partner, but it was so clearly me. A lot of people, when they write a book, I would like your honesty.
We didn't have a ghostwriter. We couldn't afford it.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, did you write it yourself? And if you didn't write it, did you put in a lot of work? Because a lot of people in this industry, when they write a book and they have a ghostwriter, they probably have two calls. And then they're like, okay, bitch, like go write my book. Yeah. So that wasn't the case for me. I was on FaceTime 6 hours minimum every week without a doubt. And then the rest of the time I was editing it. So I had somebody was writing out like a transcript of what I was talking about. And don't get me wrong, this woman is formidable. She did a wonderful job of making it seem like I was much smarter than I am. But it is so, so, so me. But then I got into the booth and I started reading it. And even though it couldn't be more me, I couldn't remember how I would say this thing. I'm like, why does that sound like I'm a fucking drama performer?
Like a Shakespeare sonnet.
Yeah. Yeah, it made no sense. But I was really happy with the result. Really happy with the result.
And that book was a hit.
A hit, honey.
Global hit.
Hit. I want to ask you this because when I was, you know, doing my deep research for this episode, I knew that you had a past in fashion, but I didn't know all of the details. So I'd love for you to share with the fans a little like Cole's Notes version of like Tan, because I actually think that's also what has made these later seasons of Queer Eye really fabulous, is that you've been really open about your story and your family life and the struggle of going into this world when you were supposed to go, you know, left, you went right, and the courage it takes to do that. So I'd love to hear like just a little bit about how you got into fashion.
Yeah. Actually, can I touch on the family life first about when it relates to fashion?
You can do whatever you want.
Okay, thanks. When you are a child of an immigrant, especially a person of color, you have a couple of options to you available to you, and this is universal. If you're Asian, South Asian, Black, and you are an immigrant in a country, your options usually are doctor, lawyer, or engineer. Your parents want you to hit the top as soon as you hit that country, and that was the case for my siblings. I'm the youngest of my siblings, but I had no affinity for academia. I was fine. I always did perfectly well at school. I had a natural ability because I'm South Asian, I guess. But I didn't like it. I fucking hated it. And so I went to study psychology at college. And during my first year, I was like, this just isn't the life for me. But I know my parents will literally slap the shit out of me. Mm-hmm. South Asian parents are usually quite... forthright with a slap. We're not afraid of a slap. And do you know what? I quite appreciate it. And there's no shame in it. And so I really was worried that they were going to either disown me or sack the shit out of me. And so I dropped out of college without telling them. And then I signed up for fashion college. And then I completed my course on my graduation day. I said to my family, hey, come watch my graduation. I'm in my car. And she drove with me. My siblings all went separately. And on the way, I said, hey, you know how obviously I went to school for psychology and I'm graduating today. Well, tricked you, bitch.
Oh my God.
Graduating in my fashion major. Literally slapped the shit out of me after I was driving out to pull over. I was like, I'm driving. She was like, how dare you destroy our family? I was like, oh God. This is going to be so shocking to anyone listening, and because it sounds offensive, but I'm not belittling the plight of the LGBTQ community. It was harder to tell my mom I was studying fashion than it was to tell her I was married to a man.
Oh my God.
Were you out before then, or were you?
I was not. No. Mm-hmm. I was still in the closet. I was out to everyone other than my mom.
Yeah.
I came out to my mom a couple of years later. And so it was a really big deal to take a risk and do something creative. But the thing I said to her, encouraging her to stop hitting me, was that I promise you know me well, mom. I'm a good kid. I've always been a good kid. I promise you, if you let me do this, I will be the best I can possibly be at this. I will work so hard and I will be your most successful child. And it wasn't an arrogant comment. Her kids were successful, but I knew that if I was going to deviate from the path that was set out for our people, and it's such a common path for our people, I better excel. Otherwise, people are going to forever in our community say, you can't do this random creative thing, otherwise you'll end up like Tan. And I refused to be that. And so I worked so damn hard. I worked every job I could find within the fashion industry to learn everything I could, so that when I started my own company, I knew how to do it, and I knew how to do it well. And so I studied fashion at college. I majored in women's wear. Thank you. I majored in women's wear. It's funny, a lot of people make fun of me online, which I'm sure is no surprise to you. People are horrible online. But they'll say, oh, he came out of nowhere and all he does is the French tuck. And don't get me wrong, I know the value of the French tuck. I mean, it has turned into a thing where people may not know my name, but they know me as Mr. French Tuck. And Let me tell you, that is street money. Like, that has street value. Mm-hmm. I'm not a stupid man. What I actually do is I design women's clothing for a living. I wasn't a stylist. Even though I've been styling for years, that wasn't my main job. I was first and foremost, a fashion designer. And so when people say, well, he's just a French tuck guy, actually you're diminishing everything I did, or denigrating everything I've done for my whole life to get to this mm-hmm. point.
Well, I know we found that, and it was shitty, and I thought it was shit. I thought it was
Wait, someone said this? Like, well, a public
people,
person?
No, people wait, say wait, it.
I didn't catch what you had said, sorry.
I said I know who said that.
Oh, yeah, you know who said that.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to know now.
So this summer during quarantine, there was like the battle of the new fashion shows, right? So there was like two fashion shows. There's Next in Fashion, which Catan was the host of with Alexa Chung. And then there was the other one, Making the Cut. And then like they were always being compared, even though they're very different. One's like a sewing competition and one's like a business competition. But anyway, so like some competitors on Tan's show were like, oh, I wish I had been on the other show because they had Naomi Campbell and like she actually knows about fashion. Well, of course, she's a fucking supermodel icon. But like, I thought that was really unfair because obviously you have this history in fashion and it's just shitty. And it's just people being mad they got cast on the show that they didn't want to be. And then the guy was like, anyway. It's just shitty, but people are shitty.
What I will say about that is I understand. A lot of people have said, why don't you talk about it publicly? Like, this person is dragging you and you haven't said anything. I've learned the power of silence in this
industry. Yes, 100%.
And also, what I have thought is I don't know what it feels like to be on a fashion competition show or a competition show where I'm a contestant.
Yeah.
So I don't know how bitter one might feel. But I did want to make a couple of comments, which I have done up until now, which is You know my fashion history. I told you all at the start of the competition. When we started on the first day, I said, I know that you might all see me as a French tuck guy, but I literally made multi-million dollar companies by the time I was 32 and I retired because of my fashion skill. So please don't just assume that I'm the guy from Queer Eye who put somebody in a French tuck. And so it felt like a real personal dig. But also, Naomi Campbell, yes, she's an icon. I love Naomi Campbell. However, maybe I'm wrong, and I'm not trying to denigrate Naomi when I'm saying this. I'm just trying to express myself, stress what I bring to the table. Naomi Campbell, I don't think designs. I don't think she's pattern cut. I don't think she's sewn. I don't think that's her
pattern. Right. Everyone has their own specialty.
And you know the technicalities of fashion, absolutely, which is a completely different thing.
And so I am in a position to be able to judge the way you've created this garment and what you're putting out there that's going to be commercial. Again, because I own fashion brands that were commercial, I think I'm in a strong position to be able to say, that's probably not a viable option, this one is. And if this person thought I was such a moron for being a judge on this show, I just think, how did you make it to one of the last episodes? If I was that stupid and incapable, you must be a terrible designer because I chose you to go.
Boom.
Says no, more I'm... about you than it does about me.
I actually love it, and I really love you as a judge, and I love that people are starting through the book and through, you know, stuff like this, like finding out your past in fashion, because I do think the same thing happens with us. They're like, look at these three vapid assholes, and I'm like, do you know how much work it takes to build a brand?
Well, and how much you do before that big thing, too. It's like...
Oh, I know. I love the people that are like, well, they just came out of nowhere. Nah, like it takes so much work to the point where you get a show on TV.
So it takes 10 years to build an overnight star.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Girl, put that on a t-shirt. Tam, here's my question.
Can I mention one more thing about this? Yeah. And then I'm so
done. Please.
This is the first time.
Let it go, Oprah. Let it go, Oprah.
I promised myself I would never talk about it publicly, but I will say this one other thing. The tone of the show was we had wonderful producers, a wonderful showrunner who created the show. However, the tone of the show with all the positivity was something I pushed for so hard. When I got the offer for the show, I said, I will never be involved with a show that is nasty, that is mean, that is going to torture these contestants. I know what it is to be a designer. I know what it is to put your work into something. We will not torture them on international television. It is going to be kind. We're never going to denigrate them other than commenting on the clothes themselves. Even then, we're not going to do it in a nasty way. And the amount of times, and this person did mention in the article that they had been a bitch so often and it was never shown on the show. And I just think, who do you think was responsible for that? Who do you think it was who protected you to make sure that the world saw you as kind? Me. And you're the one who's coming for me so publicly. It was really shit. It honestly hurt me so much. I get so affected by the mean things that are said about me, and I wish I was a stronger person, but it hurts my heart.
People think that, sorry, Kelty, that when you're successful, that suddenly you have the thickest skin ever and that you're impenetrable because they think that success trumps any kind of hurt feeling or insecure moment. And I think that if the public could take anything away from what's going on now in the world and just the state that everyone is in, we're all human. And it's
it's
so
sad. It's getting worse for me.
It's getting worse.
I'm sure.
Up until a few months ago, I got hate. Like we all get hate. I stopped checking my DMs. My assistant does it. And she'll just let me know the things that I need to know, which is usually, oh my God, this fucking megastar wants to be your friend. Do you want to be the friend? Yeah, bitch. Other than that,
put me through to Rihanna.
But usually she won't pass the information through. However, I do say, look, if there's an influx of hate, then maybe something has happened that I've done, or maybe I've done something wrong, so I need to know that. Don't like read the messages to me, but tell me what's going on. And so I didn't get a shocking amount, but over the last few weeks I have, and it's been crazy because I've started talking about voting and the importance of voting. But then a few days ago I did something which I thought was just smart and kind and something that somebody in a position of power should do, and so I posted something. It was just so shocking to see all the posts that were saying find something on him and let's take him down so publicly. I just thought, that's fucking disgusting. What did I do to deserve it?
It's, and that's why so many people in the industry stay quiet, because they're so afraid of taking a stance in either direction. And I can say personally, I've lost many, many, many followers during this time because I've been outspoken about Black Lives Matter or just even wearing a mask. I lose followers when I post something about wearing a fucking mask around. So it's like, God forbid you have a kind of controversial, not controversial, but to some a controversial stance. It's like you're fucked and you risk losing it all by using your voice.
Well, and then does this make you not want to, like, is that, does it hurt you in a way where it's like you don't even want to say anything anymore?
Yeah, not completely. It has made me quieting down for sure. Yeah. I haven't posted as much about much of the last week or so, but then I get people saying, why aren't you using
where are you?
It's like you're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah, but when I tell people publicly, when I try and say, hey, when I post this shit, I get so much shit, they don't seem to understand that. So they're like, well, you still should be using your voice. I'm like, you try being attacked constantly, like literally crying yourself.
No one can understand it.
See how you feel, like if you're really excited to post the next day. And so it is incredibly difficult. It won't silence me, for sure it won't. It has reduced the amount of times I will post. However, I was literally sat with a friend last night saying, I'm so hopeful that one day, I always said when I got Queer Eye, I was like, I will do Queer Eye and whatever comes during that time. But maybe as soon as Queer Eye is done, I might be done, because I was meant to retire and I still want to retire. And this has made me think I'm really excited to retire and not have an Instagram account ever again.
I seriously, every single day, I think about, you know, it's like, but it's tricky too, though, because you think, I do have this platform, and as a human being who has empathy, who feels like I need to be using it and doing the right thing to help people who can't help themselves. But then in the other side of it, there's a very human side where you're like, I don't know how much me personally can take. Yeah. And you do want to run away.
I will say that I am, as much as I'm looking forward to a day when I don't have social media, it is hard because I know that I'm one of a very, very few people that are like me. I was an immigrant until recently. I guess I still can call myself an immigrant. Yeah. I'm an immigrant. I'm brown. I'm Muslim. I'm gay. I the main reason I took this job, and I don't know if you know this, but I turned down Queer Eye a couple of times, and I tried to quit after a few weeks of filming Queer Eye.
Wow.
And the reason is there wasn't anybody like me, and so that pressure was so overwhelming. Sure. Nobody wants to be the first. Well, maybe some people are crazy enough to think they do. You do not want to be the first at something. People will hate you so strongly for it. And so now that I've gotten over that hump, and so many people, and this is going to sound braggy, it's not, but so many people across the world will reach out to say, I never thought I could live past a certain age. And I felt that as a kid. I thought, I probably won't make it past 20-something because I'll be expected to marry, so I'll kill myself. And so, because we don't have people like this in our communities who can show us that there is light at the end of the tunnel. Caucasians do. Some Black people do. We don't. And so, I feel a responsibility to continue to plod along. Otherwise, that kid in Pakistan who looks up thinking, oh, I can live that life, maybe we'll see. I can't see. Even Tan couldn't cope. And look at what position he was in.
Yeah. And that does it. I totally understand. It's like all the other guys on the show, you know, from an outsider, this is just speculation, but it's like they can sort of have their fun and there's not a whole lot of responsibility. Karamo probably feels similar to you, where there's a responsibility to be a role model.
To be perfect.
And I think like the other guys, it's like, because there's so many other Caucasian people who are doing the work and really crushing it and using their platforms, there's less pressure for them to do so. But for you guys, it's a lot.
I'm going to give the most perfect example, and I have given it before, but I'm going to use it on you again, because it really is a perfect example of how people see us very differently, even though we're on the same show. We all have achieved the same level of success together on a show. This is a perfect example. Every news article I've ever seen about me is this. I'm going to tell you the other voice first. So, but Bobby, Anthony, and Jonathan, it always starts with Anthony, food and wine guy on Queer Eye, Canadian, super sexy, blah, 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 blah. Bobby, interior design guy. He's the fun, kooky guy. And then there's Tan France, Muslim, Pakistani immigrant, also is the fashion guy. It mentions my religion. I don't know if you know this, Anthony Caramo and Jonathan all identify as Christian. It has never, ever been mentioned in an interview. Only my race is mentioned. Only my religion is mentioned. Only my immigrant status is mentioned. It's never just, I'm so excited for the day when somebody will just say, Tan France, fashion guy.
Yeah.
Is your family proud now, or do you still fight against that?
It was hard the first year.
Yeah.
And I've spoken openly about a moment where it looked like they might disown me very shortly after the show came out, because it starts to reach their home, and my hometown is very racist, actually. And so people were saying really horrible things to them on the street. And so there was a time when I thought, okay, I might not have my family anymore. We were about to board a flight to Australia for our first press trip. And I saw all the messages coming through from my family saying, we can't cope with this anymore. We don't know if we can see you anymore. And so Anthony and I are very, very close. I love all the boys, but Anthony and I are very similar. And him and I had, you know, this is arrogant, but it's just the way life is. On first class, you have beds that come in twos by the windows. And so him.
Oh, I know all about first class, Tan. I've educated them on first class. So they know.
On an international flight, you get these nice beds. And I laid in my bed next to Auntie the whole time, crying. And he had to console me for that whole damn flight. It was, I'm so close to my family. I love my family so much. Like, South Asian culture is you are engrossed in each other's lives, and so to think that that's it, I might lose them over a decision to just tell the world who I actually am. I wasn't doing anything crazy. I was just saying, hey, this is me, just as I am. That destroyed me. And so for the four, we were only in Australia for the 4 days, I watched those interviews back. I'm like, I don't know that person. It was horrible. And those press junkets are 12 hours a day. Sometimes, if you're lucky, 9 or 10. Every 15 minutes, somebody else comes into the room. And the amount of times somebody would say, Tan, we know, but you just have to smile and get through it. I was like,
oh, my God.
I know. It's hard.
Honestly,
it's harder than anyone ever would think.
Especially having to put on like the happiest face in the entire world, because people do look at you guys as like the perfect.
Queer Eye voice.
Yeah. And like,
you entertain us.
Yeah. and to know that you were going through something that was like so horrible and heartbreaking is.
I love this.
But we got through it, and now it's wonderful. And
now you're here. Now you have homes.
Yeah. And there was a show, and they're like, oh my gosh, like it's wonderful. And what you're doing for the world. I was like, yeah, I know. How did you not see that?
Yeah.
Because people are dicks, Tan.
Yeah, I know.
That's the takeaway from today. People are fucking assholes.
Well, listen, we love Tan. When we come back, we have invited Tan here to talk some shit. Like, I love this conversation, and thank you for being so vulnerable and open with us.
Oh, no, we need to be like, you're right. Let's balance
it out. No. We love it. But when we come back, I want to know what you think about Yeezy for Gap.
You're listening to The Lady Gang.
Okay, we're back. We're going to play a quick game here before we lose Tan. And this game is in honor of him. It's called Tan or Ban.
Okay. Love that name, Kelty. Good job.
Isn't that so original?
She was waiting for the feedback. There was five seconds of silence.
I was nodding.
You guys, it's
fine. Well, Tan, usually Kelty comes up with names and they're really, really bad. So this one was pretty good.
Yeah, thank you. So I have collected some hot topics from out in the world, and we're going to see what Tan thinks, and everyone's going to vote Tan or Ban. Okay?
Okay.
Ready? Okay. So first of all, this one's for you, Becca.
Cool.
Oh, no. The acting world just got harder. A robot named Erica was cast as the lead actress in a movie. She was created from scratch to play the role. In other methods of acting, actors involve their own life experiences in their role, but Erica has no life experiences. One of the writers explained.
Well, this is like, have you seen the Instagram robot Lil Michaela?
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, she's taking away every influencer's job. She's doing millions of followers. So many ads. I mean, it's the same thing essentially as like Well, I guess it's not, because you can still be the voice of an animated character. I mean, I'm into it. I'm going to tan it.
Whoa.
You okay with Erica? It's like, it's between,
you know, I know
Variety magazine reports that,
because you can't compete with a robot.
There's no jealousy there, because it's like, it's AI. What are you going to be jealous of?
You know
of?
What? Erica might be the next Bond girl, but I can taste banana bread. You know what I mean?
Jack?
Okay, wait. Tan's not going to tan it. He's
oh
not.
No,
you're
he's
banning it. I'm banning it too.
Yes.
No, I'm banning it. It's the same thing. There's now like AI robots that are writing like perfect pop songs. Uh-huh. And my boyfriend's a musician. I'm like, well, there goes your fucking job too. We're all just getting replaced.
Yeah. I just think of all the industries. Can't we just have a few, especially creative stuff that's done by a real person? Other jobs I get, like science takes over. But when it's something creative, no. Like,
let us live.
Let us live.
Okay,
my truth.
A fashion question for Tan. Cardi B recently was spotted with her beautiful daughter in matching Mommy and Me Dolce outfits. What do we think about a Mommy and Me matching memento as far as the fashion?
Honestly, okay, I'm going to tan it to a certain extent. I do think it's adorable. Listen, I am really excited to have kids, and I know I'm going to do lame shit like that as well.
Yeah.
daddy and me with my daughter. But I do think the Dolce thing's a stretch too far. Why would you put your child who's going to last probably 3 months in that thing that costs a fortune? I know she probably didn't pay for it. It was gifted. But still, like, get a grip. If it's something that's accessible and cute and just like a one-off, I like it. If it's your life, please no.
So like a Target matching outfit.
Yes, but like an occasion. But do not make that your story. Otherwise, you birth your best friend and she's going to hate you for it when she's older.
Yeah. I mean, the only way that I'll be able to match with my child is if they dress like, I mean,
an old woman.
Like an old lady or like just menswear. Can you put a little toddler girl in menswear? I mean, yes, I guess that's pretty chic.
That sounds awesome. I will do that.
Thank you. My problem now is the opposite of that, that I only wear very low cut or high slit things, that I cannot be putting my child into that because that opens a whole different can
of worms. You don't like a skunky daughter look?
Actually,
that's weird.
Tan and Becca, you guys would be best friends because your style is very similar.
It's true. Oh,
like, turtlenecks, long sleeves, like very...
Not long sleeve.
Tan, I actually have to tell you, I recently, like within the last year, there was a website that I love that's like really chic, designer, like very nice clothing. And it's called themodest.com. Oh, yeah. And I love it so much. And I was talking about it on the podcast. And then somebody DM'd me and they said, do you know that that website was made for people with religious constraints? No. So I think that I mean, I
are you that's how I, an Orthodox Jew?
I honestly, that's, it is how I dress. Yeah. So I'm no survive. Shade. I love the modest.
I love it. I do. So, okay. Maybe you don't know this. Sorry. You were going to get back to your game, Cassie. I promise.
No, you're
sorry.
Fine. I don't care.
Maybe you don't know this, but one of my first brands was actually a modest clothing company.
Really?
And I used to sell my product to... So I used to design my own brand, but then the likes of Forever 21 would buy it from me, but would ask for their label to put in. It's called Private Label.
Yeah.
And so I used to sell to them. They had no idea it was modest clothing company. Literally no idea. But it was actually made for Mormon women so they could cover certain parts of the body. But you would never have known because it was chic as
It's so chic.
I love that.
So chic.
Boom. Gwyneth Paltrow's released a new candle, everyone. $75. And it's called This Is What My Orgasm Smells Like.
I know
what does
this.
It smell like? What's the scent?
I have no idea. Her orgasm.
There's a lot of... I'm going to ban this real quick. If for women, maybe. But no gay man wants... her vagina candle or her orgasm candle in their house. No, thank you. There are real luxuries and perks to being gay, and one of them is I don't need to smell your orgasm.
Boom.
I don't even want to smell my own orgasm.
A very important something happened. Paul Mescal, my celebrity crush, was spotted running in London in a short short.
No, I'm going to take this. Everybody, shut up. Everybody, shut up.
Do you love him?
I'm going to tan to like the nth degree. Sorry, tan.
Oh my God, tan. Yes.
I'm going to tan to the nth degree. I am obsessed. I love him. However, he is a lot younger than me, which
me
I
too.
I think he's like 15. No, he's 12 years younger than me. I think he's 26, 25, 26. He's like 24. 12 years younger than me. But gorgeous.
Is this that show?
Normal what people guy?
Normal people. Kelty, is the picture at hand the one in the white short shorts?
Yeah, he's always in the white short shorts. They're O'Neill. He's always in them.
Here's my thing about short shorts on men or shorts on men.
I love them.
I love them if you have like a beefy leg muscle. Muscle.
He has really beefy legs.
And he has great fucking man legs for those shorts.
They're so white. They are so white.
But they're good and beefy. Yeah.
I think I'm triggered by a really white, thick leg because I think of myself. So I can't, I can't tan that. I have got to ban that.
I mean, okay. Okay, I do want to ask you what you think of Yeezy for Gap.
Okay, here's the thing. I won Yeezy. Me and Anthony have twinned in Yeezy a couple of times on the show. I will say this. I'm not a supporter of Kanye. I have loved his music in the past. Clearly, I'm not a fan of his politics or pretty much every one of his views. However, just because I don't love his views doesn't mean I don't like the collaboration he's done with Adidas. And I do love Adidas. I do like that they're making it more accessible. I don't spend a lot of money on clothes. I never have. I never will. I don't buy designer clothes. I will borrow them for events. And if they get a gifted, wonderful, but I don't buy designer clothes. I just think it's so expensive. And because I know how much clothes cost to make, and believe when I say that most of them cost maybe 20% of what you're paying. And so once you know the insider deal, mm-hmm. It makes it not an option for you to pay full price. So that's why I like that they're doing an accessible version. However, I think it's an interesting choice to do it with Gap. It's not a store I've been in for many, many years. I can't imagine if that's going to revive the brand. It seems like a weird one. So I'm going to say tan with conditions.
Well, it is. I hate to tell you, but it's going to revive the brand because dorks like Kelty are going to rush to their local Gap and be in head to toe Yeezy. She's thinking about it. She was going to do it and now she's not, out of spite.
I'm not thinking about this particular collaboration, but like if Harry Styles did Harry Styles with a Gap, you know I would go stand in line
with his fashion.
Absolutely, me too.
I'd sleep over three, you know, tan for the Gap, like I'm there.
I do think that they're gonna make just sweats. So I just think I don't need to get my sweats from Gap.
That's the annoying thing is like all of these people are like, I'm doing a collaboration and then it's a hoodie. And I'm like, no.
That's what it is. It's a screen printed hoodie. That's all the things are.
Gap does make a good sweat.
Can I defend Yeezy just slightly? Okay. The fabric that they use for their sweats is the best fabric I've ever had for a pair of sweatpants or a sweatshirt.
Fine, I'll go to the Gap tan.
Wait, Gap is or Yeezy is?
Yeezy.
Is going to be like shit.
Yeah, Gap will not be using that fabric. And I know that fabric's a lot more expensive. They will not be using that. But I do know that the sweatshirt fabric is the Yeezy.
All right, so my last thing, Tan, is before we wrap up with you, I do want to ask you to tan or ban the... we must wear masks, and now they're starting to sell like to mask with the outfit, like same.
A matching mask set. Outfit.
The dress matches the mask. What are your thoughts?
I'm gonna give neither a tan nor a ban for this reason. As long as you can wear a mask, that's all we're asking.
Like, amen.
I don't care if it matches your outfit. I don't care if it looks like your fucking vagina. I don't care if it looks like a dick on your face. Just put
a dick mask.
Just put a mask on.
Just put a fucking mask on and be a decent person.
You know, I tan it because for some basic bitches that maybe wouldn't wear a mask if it didn't match their outfit perfectly, it's like... Mm-hmm. Now you're cohesive.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's why I say it's neither a tan or a ban. I'm like, as long as you're wearing it, it doesn't matter. Whatever it takes, if it really is important for you to make sure that the mask on your face matches something, so be it. Like, if that's the life you're living, I think it's a little bit sad, but go for it. I mean, if it matches, fine. But if that's what you desperately need to make
you happy,
that's sad. But just wear a damn mask.
Also, the why aren't people appreciating that you can cover up your face? Like, that I'm having breakouts from the stress, and being able to put on a mask and slap on some mascara and look like a beauty queen is incredible.
Legit, I've said exactly the same thing, thinking it takes no effort for me to get out of the house anymore.
None.
I put my mask on. I don't need to worry if I haven't washed my face to go to the store. Who cares? They can't see me.
Nope.
Sunglasses and a hat, and you're in a disguise.
I know.
You are such a beautiful man. It has been a joy to stare at your face for this hour.
Thank you so much.
Your hair is so beautiful.
Your hair is amazing.
Thanks.
Is it naturally curly and you blow it like that? Or is this just...
And I cut it a few weeks ago because I was sick of it. So this is definitely me done up. But I cut it myself. I didn't do it.
One day you were on a flight with me and we were both in first class. Kelty, go fuck yourself. And I just want to say, I watched you. I wanted to say hi, but I also believe in respecting people. That's like sometimes they're only alone.
Thank you so much.
Yes, but I did watch you like a hawk, and you were so nice to every single person. Aww. Like, from the flight attendants to the people who passed you and who were big fans. Like, that's when you know someone is a really good person, when they're good when no one's watching.
Thanks.
Except we're always watching, Tan.
Like a stalker.
Page 6 on speed dial. Well, Tan was a dick. If you haven't read Tan's book, you can get it right now. It's called Naturally Tan. It's fabulous. And you can follow Tan on Instagram at Tan France, but only say nice things. And of course, I know you've already binged everything that's available for Queer Eye, but you can binge that if you're not done yet. And Tan, please come back when you find out who made the blouse.
Thanks. I will. Wait, can I pitch one other thing?
Yeah.
Yes.
I've watched season 5. You might want to watch a show called Boost My Business. They're like 7
minutes. Yes. No, this is great.
It's like,
can boost us?
Businesses. I go around. It's a campaign where I'm trying to help businesses come out of COVID. Small businesses.
Oh my God, incredible. I love this.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Love that.
It's on Facebook Watch.
Small businesses that really need some support, and from me being a small business owner, I wanted to be able to impart some advice. So it's a really cute show.
That is so cool.
I love it. What's it called again?
Boost my business.
Boost my business, guys.
We're watching it. It's like Pimp My Ride, but better.
Yeah.
Damn. We're about to apply. Tan, we love you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for making our Queer Eye trifecta on Lady Gang full. And see you next Tuesday.
Yes. See you next Tuesday. You want to see you next Tuesday?
Thanks for listening, and make sure to rate and review this podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We have new episodes of Lady Gang every Tuesday and Thursday. Follow us on social media at The Lady Gang. Follow us personally at Kelty, most importantly, at Becca, and at Jack Bannock. The Lady Gang Network is produced by Will Sterling, Steve Delamater, Kirsten Woodward, and Elizabeth Bakewe. Thanks for rating and reviewing wherever you get your podcasts, and tune in for new episodes every single week.
Happy Earth Month, everybody. Now, I know every year we write down our different goals that we want to accomplish for yourself, people around you, manifest it. And maybe one of our goals for 2024 is to shop sustainably. You value companies that are thoughtful in every aspect of how they run their business. Good news, Macy's makes it easy to do just that. This Earth Month, join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's, Little Planet, Oak, On 34th, Elemis, and more. You can donate online or in-store and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose. And who doesn't love going to the park, especially in the spring? Fresh air, frisbees, picnics, super cute dogs on leashes. I mean, that's my dream. Soaking up the sun with your friends or your kids or your nieces and nephews. Check this out. Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project. Their goal is to transform vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help create healthy, livable communities for generations to come. I love that a big brand like Macy's is supporting small changes to make a big difference. Again, donate in store or online and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose.